All right, so I can start whenever I'm ready. What, start or end? The end, start.
Both. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, don't just like, okay, we're ready, and then you just go right into it. Otherwise, I won't have a clear place to
end. Oh, okay, wait, I'm going on page one. All right. Okay, I'm ready. Okay. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad you joined us. You know, we may not be able to come here physically into the building, but praise God, we got this digital thing going on. So welcome, welcome. Hey, don't forget to comment in the chat session. We'd love to hear from you. Amen. So I want to start today with a story that's actually happened this past week. I was FaceTiming with my daughter who lives out of state, and we were just talking, and my grandson was in the other room, and he yells, "Hey, Ammie." By the way, that's me. He couldn't say Grammy, so I am called Ammie, and I didn't really care. So he says, "Hey, Ammie, do you eat underwater snakes?" And I'm like, "What?" So my daughter goes, "Mom, he's playing Play-Doh, and he's making those snakes." So I said, "Oh." So I go, "No, I really prefer chicken." I said, "Hey, do you like chicken?" And he goes, "Dino Nuggies." Now, for those of you, this is new, that is a chicken nugget that shapes like a dinosaur. And he just starts running around, "Dino Nuggies, Dino Nuggies, Dino Nuggies." So I got to laugh and I thought, man, who would know that a Dino Nuggie would be such good news? So today, I want to talk about good news, and I am not talking about Dino Nuggies. So I want to talk about, though I really want to talk about some good news. Now, for some of you, you know, you've been walking with Jesus for years and years, and what I'm going to say, you're like, you already know that. But how many of you know we need to brush up on some things? Because sometimes you can have this in your head and it's not in your heart. And if it's not in your heart, it's not going to be able to share with someone. So you stay tuned for what we're going to say. And then maybe you're here and Jesus is new in your life and the Bible and church, and this is so new. So probably what I'm going to say, maybe the first time you hear it, and you are just going to love it. So I'd like to start with a scripture. It's kind of our base scripture for this day. Open up to 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and today I'm reading out of the Message Bible, and I encourage you to get this Bible. It's written in everyday language, and sometimes you just need an easy read. So I took this scripture from the Message Bible. So we're reading from 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and it goes like this: God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master Jesus Christ. He died for us a death that triggered life. I love that. I really love that. So I see about four different things going on in that scripture, but I want to focus on this last part, a life-giving death. And that's where it said, death triggered life. So think about it. Who could die and trigger life from everybody? Well, the only person would be that God would send his son Jesus to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins, and then he'd be resurrected. So we're going to, and guys, that is good news. So we're going to talk about that today. That's our good news. So again, as I was reading this scripture, I saw four points that just shouted out good news. So we're just going to plow through four of them. And the first one, if you want to write this down, it's real simple. The first one goes like this: God is not angry with you. God is not angry with you. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I always thought God was a little mad with me. And even after I received Jesus into my life when I was in my early 20s, you know, I remember times thinking I would do something that God probably wasn't too happy with, and God probably was mad at me about. Anybody ever have those kind of feelings? Like, is God mad at me? Is God angry with me? Well, here's the good news. Ready? God's not angry with you, and it's for a reason. And the reason is that God sent his son Jesus to die for us for our sins. God actually put his anger and his wrath on Jesus, so you and I don't have to experience that. We don't have to experience that anger in our life. So let me give you a really cool scripture. It's found in 1 John 2:2, and I'm reading out of the Living Bible, 1 John 2:2. And this is at the end of your Bible. If you hit Revelations, the last book, back up one, and you are in 1 John. All right? 1 John 2:2. It goes like this: He is the one who took God's wrath against our sins upon himself, and he brought us into fellowship with God. Think about that. Jesus literally took our wrath and so that we would not experience that. That is just so cool. I love it. I love it. So, but listen to the rest of that verse, the end of that verse. It goes like this. And he is the forgiveness of our sins, and not only ours, but of the world. Gosh, I love that. So God sent Jesus so that he could take the sins of everybody on him, so and so that we would not have wrath. The wrath went on Jesus, and we'd never, never have to experience that. Guys, I'm telling you what, God is not angry with you, and I don't know about you, but I am glad he is not angry with me. Amen. So that's number one, and here's number two. Number two that I see as good news in that scripture goes like this. God has not rejected you. God has not rejected you. Guys, that is such good news. Now, I'm sure all of us at some point in our life, we may have gone through some rejection. Maybe you were a kid and you tried out for the soccer team and you weren't chosen and you felt rejected. Or maybe a classic teenage girl, you found out you weren't invited to a party and you went home and bawled your eyes out and you felt rejected. Or, you know, even today, especially today with all the social media that we have, and you can post something and only one person liked you, or you can put something up and you only had two followers and one of them was your mother, right? So you can kind of feel rejected, correct? But how many of you know or would finally admit that rejection just doesn't feel good, right? It does not feel good. And for some people, it is devastating to be rejected. It is just devastating. But the probably, to me, the most devastating thing that you can think is that God has rejected you. That God, that you've done something and God has rejected you. To me, that would be the most devastating thing, all right? But guys, here's the good news. Not only was had God put his anger and his wrath on Jesus, but God rejected Jesus so that you would not be rejected. And I'm telling you, that is just good news. How about if we hop over to a scripture in the Old Testament that just kind of says that real clear for us. Turn over to Psalms 118 verse 22. Psalms 118 verse 22. And I'm reading out of the NIV version, and it goes like this. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So the stone is Jesus, and Jesus was rejected. That's Jesus. He was rejected. So let's do the two-year-old question. Why? Why was Jesus rejected? Well, read the next verse, verse 23. It says this. The Lord has done that, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And I have to go, well, what's so marvelous? Jesus was rejected? No, no, no. That wasn't marvelous. What was marvelous is he became the cornerstone. So guys, God wants you to know that Jesus was rejected so you would not be rejected. And I like to say it even better than that. Jesus was rejected so that I was accepted. And I'm telling you, that is good news. I love that. I love that. So now that was an Old Testament scripture. So I want you to hop over to the New Testament. We're going to read out of John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. And this is when Jesus was walking upon the earth. And this is what it says. John 1, 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. I mean, that's not too good, right? Let's read the next verse. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So think about it. Here Jesus came to the earth, and his own people, you know, God's chosen people, the Jewish people, his own people didn't recognize him and didn't accept him. I mean, just think about that in your own life. Come on. Think about if your family or your closest friends did that. So here we have Jesus. He wasn't recognized and he wasn't accepted. All right. Now, here's the good part. Let's read the next verse, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Guys, this is amazing, okay? So think about it, that God sent Jesus into the world, and God is not angry with you. I mean, that's good news. He's not mad at you. That's good news. And God God does not reject you because he rejected Jesus so that you could be accepted. Praise God. That is such good news. Man, you just want to close your eyes and savor that for a moment. But let's do our third one. Here's our third point, our third, what I call a big good news. Write this down if you're taking notes. It goes like this. Salvation came only through Jesus. Salvation came only through Jesus. So, you know, it's interesting. I talk to a lot of different people, not just people in church, just when I'm out and about. And I talk to a lot of different people. And, you know, I'll hear people say, oh, salvation comes all different ways, Pastor D. And, you know, it can come this way, it can come that way. You know, salvation can come in different ways. And I'm like, well, actually, there's only one way. There's only one door, and it's Jesus. And it's so interesting. I still get people say, well, you know, you can get salvation can come through this door and that door and that door. And I'm like, no, no, I'm really sorry to say. Salvation is one way, and Jesus is the one way. And that's how you come through salvation. So salvation comes only through Jesus. All right. Now, so having said all of that, it's quite interesting, depending on how you've been raised. I've heard many times people say, well, you know, Pastor D, I've been going to this church my whole life. My whole family goes here. So, you know, I'm saved. Or I am a member of this church, so you know I'm saved. And I'm going, sorry, guys, salvation comes only one way, and that one way is through Jesus. It's not through going through church or being born and raised in a church. So let me give you a cool scripture that just kind of expresses all of that. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. So this is the Apostle Peter. This is after Jesus died, and it's after the day of Pentecost, and Peter is out there. They're preaching up a storm, and he actually goes and brings up that Psalm 118 that we just read, that Jesus was the stone that was rejected. So Peter bringing up that, and then he goes on to say some other things. So Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it goes like this. Salvation is found in no one else. Now this is Peter saying this, all right? He's, like I said again, salvation is found in no one else. No other person, no other religion, no other way. Right? And so salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved. In other words, the name of Jesus is the only way to have salvation. It's the only way you can be saved. Okay. So, you know, interesting, people still think salvation has all different ways, and I'm always amazed when they tell me this way or that way. But you know what I hear? I hear that people have hunger in their heart to get to know this God when they're trying this way and that way. But I have to tell them, God says there's only one way, and that one way is through Jesus. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. So let's do a quick review. Number one, God's not angry with you. And I'm telling you, that makes me happy. I hope that makes you happy. Number two, God's not rejected you. And you may think, oh no, I really did this bad thing last week. Nope, you are not rejected. God didn't reject you. And that is good news. And the third thing we just went over, salvation comes only through Jesus. So let's close up with our fourth point that we got from this First Thessalonians. All right, so here it goes. If you want to write this down, ready? It says this, and this is from the scripture. It says, his death triggered life. His death triggered life. And I don't know, you could kind of scratch your head and think, how on earth could one person's death trigger life? Well, as we just said, Jesus's death triggered life for everyone. Okay. And let me give you a scripture that just makes that so clear, so clear. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And this is the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul writing this, and he says this, but God demonstrated his own love for us while we were still or yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but in your worst state or your worst condition, it says that Jesus Christ died for you. I love that. That's good news, right? That's just good news. So let's read that scripture that we started with in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 one more time. Okay. You ready? God didn't set us up for any angry rejection, praise God, but for salvation by our Master Jesus Christ. He died for us a death that triggered life. That's so good. So let me ask you a question. Why do you and I need salvation? Why do you and I need salvation? So I've heard this many times. People say, hey, you know, I know this person. They are really bad. They're just like a really bad egg. And because of that, you know, they need some saving, as Granny would say. They need some saving. They need something. Okay? And we can kind of dodge and say so-and-so needs saving. But listen to what Romans 3:23 says. Romans 3:23. I'm reading this one out of the Living Bible. Okay, it goes like this. Yes, all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious ideal or God's standard. Praise God. So guys, when I first heard that verse and someone explained it to me, I thought, man, that's me. I know I'm a sinner and I know I need Jesus. And really it was just something in my heart when I heard that verse that it exploded. I am a sinner and I need Jesus. Okay. Now, when I say sinner, I'm not talking about, you know, last night I sinned or, you know, I did something really bad last week. That's not what this is talking about, that kind of sin. What it's talking about is way back when Adam sinned in the garden by disobeying God, everyone is then a sinner. Everyone has got a sin nature. And that's what it's talking about. But the good news is that Jesus died. Died to pay the penalty for our sin. That's the good news. Praise God. So would you guys turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10? And for many of you, you know this scripture, but let's just read it together. I'm reading out of the NIV. It goes like this. If you declare, and a lot of translations will say confess, okay? But if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I love that. But now listen to verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or made right with God, of righteousness, right standing. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. So in other words, you are going to believe that Jesus died on the cross and you're going to confess him as Lord and you're saved. Okay. But I want to say something and I know it's going to rock you. So just hear me out. Go slow, but listen to this. And you need to understand that Jesus' dying wasn't enough. Okay, stay with me. When he died, that wasn't enough. Now you might be thinking, what? Pastor D, you just read these scriptures. No. Listen to me. Okay, it's enough that he supplied salvation, but it's not enough unless you do something with it. So it's not enough that he provided salvation unless you ask Jesus to come into your life. So you might be thinking, yes, Jesus died for everybody and everybody's capable of being saved. And I'd go, yes. But it's not enough unless you do something with it. It's not enough. And like in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's not enough unless you believe and ask and accept Jesus into your life. So let me give you one more scripture. It's written by the Apostle Paul. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It goes like this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken a stand. So did you see that? You have to receive it. And you know, it's like I walk up with you with this gift and I say, hey, I have a gift for you. And you say, hey, no, you know, I'm good. I got everything. I'm cool. I don't really need it. Okay. Well, listen, the gift that I want to give to you is not going to do you any good because you've not received it. Okay, and it's the same thing with salvation. Jesus died for your salvation. It's out there. It's waiting for you, but you have to say yes and take it. You have to say yes and take it. Okay, I want to read a little bit more of that scripture. It says, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. And I'm sorry, I'm not on all my the next verse. Verse 3, for what I received, I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So guys, God's not angry with you. God's not mad with you. God's not rejected you. But listen, salvation comes only through Jesus, and Jesus died so that we could have life. His death triggered life. So here's the question. Have you received that life? All right. I know a lot of you listening, you've heard this, but I know there's people out there listening, and today's your day. And I just want to ask you a question. Can you remember a day or a time when you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. And you asked him into your heart. Well, if you have not, can I tell you today is the day. Today's the day. And if this is just in your heart, stirring in your heart, I'd like to pray with you. All right. And when I say pray with you, would you just say, repeat this after me and just pray it from your heart. Pray it loud enough, you know, that you can hear it. And I don't know if you're at home by yourself, but that's okay. The people around you, they're just going to be fine with that. So would you pray this with me? Just simply say, Father God, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. And I look to Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. And today I ask you to be my savior. And today I will follow you and let you be the Lord of my life for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, a miracle happened on the inside. That's called salvation, called being born again. And you've got the life of God in you. And God has promised such great and precious promises. And you can continue to find out by reading your Bible. But I will ask, say, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, let us know. I want to get a Bible into your hands. We'll figure out how to get it to you, okay? So just send us a note and know that your life is forever changed. Salvation and life has come to you. So the rest of y'all guys have an awesome day. Remember that Jesus has brought life and you get to be a carrier of this life. So have a wonderful week.